Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
All right. Okay, praise the Lord. Let us pray before we take our seats, okay? Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to celebrate your goodness in our lives today here at church. Thank you for the powerful praise and worship. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God that we will explore this morning as led and guided by the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have in America to gather together like this without the fear of persecution, arrest, or worse, as it is for many of our brethren around the world. We thank you for the freedoms we have in America for this. We do not take them for granted. We thank you, Lord, that as we explore your word today, we will see things and we will hear things that will help us move forward, moving forward in power and might through 2018 to represent you with accuracy and anointing wherever we are sent in the Holy Spirit. And we leave service today stronger in spirit than when we came and better equipped to do everything you ask of us in these last days. So we praise and we thank you for this. Everybody that agrees with that prayer said together, amen. Amen. Okay, everybody back up and park. So let us get to the word. Thank you, Jesus. I would, first of all, before we get into the message, I would like to thank everybody on behalf of my wife and my staff overseas and all the pastors that we cover for your prayers, for your financial support, for your involvement in our work overseas. As Pastor Dan said, there was a group that left this church to join us in Crusade Outreach last July. We do three mission tours every summer, one in June, one in July, and one in August. And the group from The Rock came with us and joined with us in the July missions tour. And in those three tours last summer, we were able, this is the conservative figures, we don't have, only God knows exactly how many people we reach because many people don't give us their names and addresses, they just disappear after the meeting. But we have the names and addresses of 4,800 souls who got saved in those three mission tours. 4,800, right on the nose. So we're thankful to God for that. And we had over 1,500 people testify that when we laid hands upon them for healing, they were instantly healed by the power of God. Over 1,500 of them. So, you know, if you're interested to go, you can talk to Dr. Fred Adams or Eden or any of the others that have gone on the tour. They're having a meeting tomorrow night about this. You're interested and want to talk more about it or plan and think and pray about it, you can attend the meeting and find out more about that if you're interested to go next summer or this coming summer, I should say. But anyway, thank you for your support and all that you enable us to do. Praise the Lord. It's a wild and woolly place in which we live. We live on the island of Mindanao, which is one of many islands in the Philippines, one of the five major islands, and it is presently under martial law. We have had war in 2017. It was there was a war declared in May of 2017, which was officially ended in November of last year, but it still goes on. Martial law was declared then, and it has been extended through 2018 on our island only. The rest of the country is not affected by this, but on our island, we have all the Muslims, we have the ISIS people, we've got the terrorists, and they live not far from us. And the war was raging 60 miles away from us. But you know what? We've learned some things about the faithfulness of God and how He takes care of His own. And we're going to talk about that today from the scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to start with me. We're going to look at three or four verses to lay a little foundation to set a common denominator for what we're going to look at here today. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 2. We're going to read from the New King James Version unless otherwise indicated. And we're just going to look at a few verses to paint a picture here and start to create a framework for the message today that we will share from the Word of God. First of all, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Okay, so let's see the common denominator in all of the verses we're going to read here. Okay, so as newborn babies, right from the beginning, God wants us to desire the milk of God's word, the Bible, that we may grow thereby. Okay, so let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, okay, and chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read this one. And this one says, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Okay, so God wants our faith to grow. From the time we're first born again in Christ, he wants us to grow by feeding upon the Word. And here he talks about the importance of having our faith growing exceedingly, not just barely, but exponentially, exceedingly. He wants our faith to grow. Next verse, let's look at Colossians 2:19. Let's look at that passage. Colossians 2:19. Which says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Grows with the increase that comes from God. Growing is the common theme, the common denominator for the verses we're reading. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow because he wants children and members of the body of Christ, children of God, members of the army of the Lord, to be participants in the great worldwide effort to win souls, plant churches, turn lives around, make disciples for Jesus, of which this church is a large part of that mix. You can't do this with a bunch of babies in Christ. You've got to have people growing up, maturing in the Lord, growing and learning who they are in Christ, what they're responsible for, where they are sent, and doing something of significance for the kingdom of God. Okay, everybody starts out as a babe in Christ, but that's not where we're supposed to stay. We're supposed to grow. Our faith is supposed to grow. All right, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul talking to Timothy here. And this is what he says to his son in the faith. He says to Timothy in the 6th verse, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ and nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. See, he wants us to be nourished in the words of faith. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible, the Word of God. He wants us to be nourished in the words of faith. Why? Because he wants us to grow. Physically, if you want to grow, you have to nourish your body. You have to feed your body. You have to feed it. You have to take care of it. You have to provide it with sustenance to nourish it. And when you do, it grows. All right. And spiritually, the same principle applies. If God wants your spirit to grow and your faith to grow exceedingly, which we know from the Bible he does, then he wants us to be nourished in the words of faith. Well, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So it all comes back to knowledge of the Word of God, who we are, where we're supposed to go, and what we're supposed to do when we get there. With an anointing from God to change nations, turn cities and towns upside down for the Lord, including San Bernardino, the Inland Empire, or wherever else you are sent by the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what God wants for all of us. Now, as we move into 2018, this is the second weekend of the new year, we need to consolidate our spirits. We need to prepare for the future. We need to gear up to run the final lap, the last leg of this race, because Jesus is coming very soon. How many believe that he's coming very soon? Oh, yeah. We could talk about that all day long. But the point is, we are right at the brink of his return. And therefore, we need to make the most of the time in which we have left. Okay, we need to manage the clock. We need to manage the calendar. So, we're going to go to Psalms 37. We're going to spend time there for the remainder of our message this morning, or really this afternoon, by the time we're done. And we're going to look at some things from Psalms 37. It is a marvelous psalm, prophetic for the day in which we live. Not just for the day in which David wrote it, but for the day in which we live today. So we're going to go there now. Turn with me to Psalms number 37. We're going to look at a few verses. We'll start with the first verse. It's too long of a psalm just to read the whole thing, but we're going to pick and choose verses as led by the Holy Spirit and see where he wants to take us today with this message. So number one, verse one, Psalms 37. Here's what it says. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a common verse we like to quote. But verse 5 says, it goes on to say, commit your way to the Lord. trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Him, it would be his perfect will for our lives. Verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Let's keep reading for one or two more verses. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Now look back with me at verse 1. Let's start there. Verse 1 tells us not to fret. Fretting is a word, or the word fret or fretting, is a word we don't use much anymore. It basically simply means don't worry. When we talk about don't fret, we're basically telling someone, don't worry about things. Don't worry, don't fret, okay? So when it says here, don't fret because of a certain group of people called evildoers or workers of iniquity. Friends, they are everywhere. Have you discovered evildoers, workers of iniquity are all around us? And they're not going away until Jesus returns and clears the planet of such people. But the point is, we are dealing with such people. We interact with such people. We go to work with these people. We go to school with these people. Evildoers, these are the people, the purveyors of sin, the people that talk about how they're going to destroy America, the terrorists, the people talking about destroying Israel, you know, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, the people who, you know, politically want to destroy Christianity. Basically, the people who hate God, hate Jesus, hate churches like this one, hate missionaries like me, and, you know, they want to, promote sin at every turn and basically wipe us out and get us off the planet and get us off the stage. Are you listening? These are the people we're talking about, the evildoers, the workers of iniquity, okay, the purveyors of sin, those who celebrate it and redefine it and all kinds of things that they do. But the point is, don't fret about them. Don't worry about it, okay? He goes on to say in verse number 2, they'll soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness, okay? Look, don't worry about the future. Worry is all about the future. It's all about something that you think might happen that probably won't happen, but you know, the devil has created this castle in your mind, this air castle, where you know you're bound by what you think might happen. That's called worry, and it's all about the future. But listen, we need to do something to counteract the tendency to worry about the future, and it's found in verse 3. Verse 3 talks about feeding on God's faithfulness. Look at that verse. Feeding on his faithfulness. It says, dwell in the land and feed. Now, isn't nourishing your body feeding your body? Isn't nourishing your spirit with the words of faith feeding your spirit? Well, how are you supposed to feed, nourish your spirit? With God's faithfulness. I want to feed on his faithfulness. In fact, that's the theme of our conference that Pastors Jim and Dan will be a part of in July. We're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. I've learned some things about how faithful God is. I hope you have too. And the point is, you can talk about and you can learn about and you can implement the mechanics of faith. When I first got saved and went to Bible school, I was privileged to sit under great men and women of God who taught me how to use my faith, to believe God and use that faith to produce results, in my case, in the Philippines, where I left the U.S. with $20 in my pocket, a footlocker full of clothing and gear from Bible school, and took a one-way plane ticket to the Philippines. And landed in the midst of another war, martial law declared when Marcos was the president, and that one was nationwide. The one we have right now is isolated to the island of Mindanao, but that one was nationwide. That was the communist insurgency back then. Now it's the Muslims, but back then it was the NPAs, the New People's Army, the communists. And Marcos had declared martial law, and I flew into that with $20 and a one-way plane ticket and no way back to America. But I was taught how to use my faith, and I took what I was taught and used it and applied it, and we took the ministry from ground zero, and we've built it into the ministry we have today, which, you know, the crusade ministry being the foundation and platform for everything we do, we've led over 750,000 people to Jesus in all of those years from then until now. A 750,000, and we're coming up on 1,000,000. Should Jesus tarry, we're going to top the 1,000,000-mile mark, the 1,000,000-man mark, should Jesus tarry. That's what we're working on, that's what we're doing, and that's what we've been doing, because we learned some things about faith and have used and have implemented and have applied what we've learned. But now, 40 years later, see, I arrived in September of 1980. I got saved in September of 78. I got saved in September of 78. I went to Rhema in September of 79. I left and went to the Philippines in September of 80. Within 2 years, I went from being a born-again, new babe in Christ to frontline missionary work on the Philippines because I was on fire for Jesus. I found out what I'm supposed to do. Let's go get done and get things done for God. So, all right. So from September 1978 to September of 2018, this coming September, will mark 40 years that I have been in the army of the Lord. 40 years serving Jesus, 40 years as a Christian, 40 years as a child of God, 40 years as a frontline fighter in the army of the Lord. I have not just learned how to apply my faith, I have seen the faithfulness of God. And what I feed on more than anything else now is the faithfulness of my God. I have seen things. We have testimonies. I could be here until next week talking to you about the things that I've seen God do for people who put themselves in harm's way and lay it all on the line for Jesus. And if you do the same, He'll do the same for you, because He's no respecter of persons. Listen, don't worry about the ignorant idiots out there talking about how they're going to destroy Israel and destroy the Christian witness. I got news. The Jews aren't going anywhere. They are the children of God, and they're not going anywhere, honey, no matter what people say to the contrary. The body of Christ cannot be moved. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They've told people, they've written this church off 10,000 times in this community. This church is going to grow. We haven't seen our best days yet. It's all ahead of us. It's all in front of us. Amen. So listen to these clowns, these buffoons that don't know what they're talking about. They don't know God. They don't know the authority of the believer. They don't know the power in the name of Jesus. And they don't know what we can do when we apply our faith and let God be God. The faithfulness of our God. Glory to Jesus. The good news is, too, you know, God will cover our mistakes. You know, how many would agree with me that we are all works in progress? You know, we're not perfect people. I've made mistakes like you have. We grow as we learn and learn as we grow, and we make mistakes along the way. But listen, even when we make mistakes, God covers it, because we're in the field. We're available. We're on the front lines. We're making a difference. We're watching God be God in our lives. You know, I talked about this in first service. I had a crusade one time. This was early on. I was working with an interpreter that became my Timothy. You know, we were together for years from that point. But I had just begun to work with him. I didn't know him very well. I didn't know the language very well. And so we had this crusade in a city called Tangub, about 20 minutes away from Osama. It's one of my first crusades. And it was a marvelous meeting. People were being healed. And, you know, it was conducted outdoors in the bus terminal with all the buses driving by and all the motorcycles and the dogs and the cats and the screaming people and the whole nine yards. It was marketplace, third world, all of that there, the animals, the people, everything. So we're competing with all of this, and we're working with a rented sound system. We didn't have our own stuff at that time, and I didn't have my own staff either. I was working with volunteers, including my interpreter that I was just beginning to work with. His name was Vic. And so me and Vic are out there preaching to these people, and the sound system was horrible. It was a rented thing. You know, they must have been using this during World War II. I mean, it was that old. I mean, it was terrible. The sound, you know, reverberation and whining, and, you know, it was just, the thing was rusty. I mean, it was a wreck. Anyway, we're trying to work with this thing and preach the gospel to these people. And at the end of the message, when everybody had received Jesus, God said to me, He said, "Now, there are blind people in the crowd. I want you to call them to the front and tell them that I'm going to heal them. Bring them to the front." So I said to them, "Okay, if you're blind or if you've got impaired vision and you want God to heal you, come on down to the front." So about 20 people made their way through the crowd, a crowd of about this size collectively, and they made their way down to the front, about 20, 25 people standing there. And so we were in an elevated platform looking down at them. And so I said to them, in English, waiting for the interpretation. I said, now listen, here's what God wants you to do. I'm going to pray for you. And when I pray, while I'm praying, I want you to put both hands over your eyes. And when you do, God will move. And in response to your faith and my prayer, you will be healed. And I waited for the interpretation. Okay, and he gave the interpretation. But I didn't know what he said, really, because I was just learning things at that time. So he said it, and then to my amazement, the blind people turned around and started walking away. You know, blind folks just don't walk away. I mean, they've got people helping them walk away, and they're looking around. And I told my interpreter, I said to Vic, where are they going? He said, they're going to get what you need, what they need to have to do what you told them to do. I said, what did you tell them I told them to do? He said, well, you told them to put a ball pen on their eyes. I said, what? He said, you told them to put a ball pen on their eyes. I said, I didn't tell them to put a ball. See, the sound system was so bad. He thought he heard ball pen when I said both hands. So I said both hands. He said ball pen. So these blind people are going off to the stores around the little periphery buying big pens. I'm not kidding. God's my witness. And so, you know, they're buying these pens, and I'm thinking, now what are we going to do? So I said to the Lord, what's next? What's now? He said, just let them buy the pens and bring them back. So I'm standing there feeling like an idiot, and then, you know, they come back with the pen. And so I said, fine, put the pen on your eyes, and I'll pray, and God will heal you. And I'm not kidding. Now, you got to see this. They didn't have video back then, but I wish we could got this one on video. You know, there they are, balancing this thing on the bridge of their nose, ramming this thing in their eye, the blind people. Guess what? In spite of all of that, they got healed. Go figure. To this day, we affectionately refer to that as the Big Pen Crusade. Praise the Lord. God will use what God needs to use. And I can just see Jesus up in heaven, you know, needling God the Father next to him saying, yep, I died for him. I'm so proud. What a man of God, you know, yep, right on. So the point is, don't worry about being perfect. Just be available and nourish yourself on the faithfulness of God. He's not looking for Pastor Perfect or Pastor Perm. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. Just works in progress, praise God. Not that I have to worry about Pastor Perm. I don't have any of that. But, you know, I have already put in my request when I get to heaven. I'm going to have a head of hair that Absalom would be jealous about. Praise the Lord. That's right, man. I practice in the hotel room. I'm doing this all the time. Praise the Lord. Spirit of Palomino will be upon me. Praise the Lord. Listen, you got to learn to laugh at these fools who don't know what they're talking about. Just don't, you know, look at verse number 7 and 8. Let's reread these. Verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. We're not going to have to wait much longer, I might add. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Even if people do consummate wicked schemes and wicked plans and all of this, never mind. Okay? Just preach the gospel. Verse 8, cease from anger. I need to meditate on that more often. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Forsake the wrath. Don't get angry. Don't get mad at these people. They just need Jesus. Yep. Amen. Just like you and I needed Jesus, okay? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Here it is again. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Three times in these verses we read from Psalms 37, God says, don't fret. Three times. Don't worry about these evildoers. Don't worry about what they do, what they consummate, never mind, forget it. Feed on the faithfulness of God instead. Spend your time meditating upon all that God has already done for you. Okay? Already done. See, I don't apologize for preaching Jesus because I know what happened to me when I accepted him. My life was turned upside down. I went from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. I got turned around. I don't apologize to anybody for this. Are you listening? Amen. And, you know, we want to bring people on board that think and feel and act the same way. Okay? We want boat rockers and wave makers and shakers and movers, frontline fighters that don't back up to talk about Jesus. We move forward and get people, get in their face and talk about Jesus. Be real with folks. Tell them the truth. Well, that's not walking in love. Au contraire, oh idiot, it is walking in love. When you tell people the truth straight up, that's love. That is scriptural love. When you tell them the truth, there's a heaven, there's a hell, and you're going to one or the other, Buster. You're going up or you're going down, and it's all up to you. All up to you. Okay, now the key to all of this is found in verse 25 of the same psalm. Verse 25, let's go there. Psalms 37, verse 25. I have seen, notice, I have seen, verse 35, the wicked in great power, I've seen, and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. See, I saw the wicked in great power. I have seen them rise to power. I've seen them hold positions of power. You see this today politically, militarily, financially, sinners in positions of power, anti-Christian zealots that hate us, hate our God, hate Israel, hate Jesus. They're all in these positions of influence. Hey, honey, they come and they go. We remain. We remain. They come and they go, but not us. We're here until Jesus returns, and then on we go. Praise the Lord. But back up to the 25th verse. Back up to verse 25. This is, as I said, the key verse. Not 35, but 25. That's really the key verse, the one we're going to read now. The 25th verse. Here's what David says. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Listen, David started out serving the Lord when he was a teenager. He has lived a life full of excitement, accomplishment, defeat, tragedy, mistakes made, sins committed, and he has seen the whole nine yards. But he comes to the end of the parade, he says, I have been young and now I am old. But I have never seen. See, he's not just talking about what he's learned to do. He's talking about what he has seen because of what he's done. The faithfulness of God. This is what he's feeding upon. He says, I have seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging bread. And I can say the same things. I've been in this race for 40 years. I can tell you that I have never seen the Lord forsake us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen my children or my spiritual children begging for bread, because if you take the word and you believe what God says, he will move heaven and earth for you, no matter who you are or where you are. He'll move heaven and earth for you. That's his word. He exalts his word above his own name, the Bible says. He's good for his word. He's good for his promises. Feed on that. Meditate on that. Our future, friends, is bright. The world is getting darker and darker. The world, we're getting brighter and brighter. At least that's in theory, the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I know who I was before I got saved. I was a good practicing Catholic boy. I got born and raised in a Catholic family. We went to Mass every Sunday. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. I did the whole nine yards. The novenas, the Stations of the Cross. I did all of that stuff. But I was as unsaved, as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I mean, I didn't know who I was or where I was. But the point is, when you turn your life around, you know, God has something then to work with. Yeah. Are you listening?
Yes.
No matter where you come from, could be Catholic, could be Protestant, could be secular, it doesn't matter. You know, feed on the faithfulness of God. The promises of God in Christ are always yes and amen. See, I have been young. Now I am older. I'm not old, I'm just older. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread, ever. Amen. And you know, listen, God is not going anywhere. He is good for his word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The best days for the Rock Church are all ahead of you, all ahead of us. Praise the Lord. You know, all the foundation this couple built, everything that they labored through the blood, the sweat, and the tears to produce what you and I now sit in the midst of today is all because of their commitment and their dedication and conviction that the word of God means what it says and says what it means, and that's it. There's no further discussion necessary.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the kind of person we're looking for out there on the front lines in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. We're all frontline soldiers, and the invitation to be a member of the congregation of the mighty is open and all to all who wish to receive. But praise the Lord, we need to come to a place where we stop being worried about the future. I've been tempted to worry about the future, but I refuse the invitation. I mean, you know, just like the church here, we live day to day, friends. We don't have some slush fund somewhere, some
cash reserve that we can dip into for unexpected tragedies and trials and testings. Oh, no, no, no. For 40 years, we've lived day to day on the other side of the world. We run a ministry simultaneously between here and there. We've got a staff we have to take care of. We've got situations to deal with. We've got pastors getting shot at, bullets flying by. We know some things. We've been around the block a few times, and we know God is faithful and good for His word. And it's the same for you guys here. Same for us everywhere we go. It's very, very important that you embrace the things we're talking about today for the fights of faith ahead. We're moving forward, are we not?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We need to understand the day in which we live. Things are not going to get better out there in the world. They're going to get worse. They're going to get darker. Evil will continue to spread like a cancer. But at the same time, the Bible says the body of Christ will shine brighter and brighter and glow greater and greater wherever we go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. 40 years of service for me this coming September, it will be 40 years. And I can tell you by experience, God is faithful and good for His word. Don't worry about the future. Don't fret. Don't get excited. Don't get angry about what these people talk about on TV or in the political circles and the forums and all of the blogs and all of this junk that people put out there. Never mind any of that. Stick with the word of God. Stay close to the Lord. Stay and rally around and nourish your spirit with the word of God. And all things for the future are in Christ. Yes and amen for you and for us and for the whole body of Christ. That's right. Religion has no answer for the things that we know and the things we portray. Listen, look at verse number 13, Psalms 37, verse 13. Let's read verse 12 to flow into verse 13. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the just. The wicked plots against the just. Don't you know that's true? And gnashes at him with his teeth. But look at the response from the Lord. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming.
Amen.
You need to learn to laugh at these ignorant people. You need to learn to laugh at them. Don't get mad at them. I have to learn to do this. You know, I'm a work in progress too. I get angry. I get upset. You may not have discerned this, but let me help you. I'm an intense individual. And when I go out there and I'm going to do something for Jesus, we're going to get something done for God. And probably some people are going to get offended along the way. Gee, what a surprise, but Jesus offended people. He said, if the servant is not above his master, they'll offend you. You'll offend people like I offend people, and they'll come against you like they've been coming against me. So don't worry about any of that. Just never mind. Don't get angry. Just laugh at these poor fools. Talk to them about Jesus. Slap them around a little bit. And if they, grow a brain and get saved, good for them. But if they want to be a charcoal briquette for all eternity in hell, go for it. It's not my funeral, Jack. It's yours. I know where I'm going. I used to get all upset with these. Don't debate with people. Just tell them the truth.
Right.
Tell them straight up. Listen, there's a heaven, there's a hell, and you're going to one or the other.
That's right. That's it.
Well, I don't agree. Well, go to hell. That's where you're going. Honey buns, you're either going up or you're going down. So you make up your mind. Praise the Lord. Look with me at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 103. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 103, verse number 1 and 2. Great, great passage. Psalms. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, listen, when you choose and decide not to worry about the future, what you need to do in order to do that is to refer back to the past. Okay? Don't worry about the future. Understand the future and don't worry about it, but instead counteract the temptation to worry about the future by meditating in the past. Look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Meditate on these verses. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God's been good to us. Amen. I've got so many testimonies. We could be here until next week talking about all the things that we've seen God do overseas, all the ways He's protected us. Like I said, you know, Mindanao is an island in turmoil. It always has been. It's under martial law right now. In May of 2017, war was declared. It was officially ended in November, but the war continues. And even in our own city, our mayor was a kingpin in the drug mafia for the Philippines. Osama City was known as the drug mafia capital and still is known as the drug peddling illegal drug capital of the Philippines. The mafia capital of the Philippines is the town that we're living in. And the mayor was the kingpin. He was the guy, he and his wife and kids, who were running all the, channeling all the illegal drugs up from Indonesia through Osamas all over the country. You know, and you know, the man had like four terms unopposed because everybody that ran against him was killed. So after about three elections, people got smart and said, you know, I'm not running against this guy. I won't make it to the election day. Well, last July 30th, my wife and I Googled this last night to get the date right. Last July 30th, he was killed, the mayor, in his house, 2 miles from our house, in a gun battle with the police. Because the new president appointed a police commissioner to Osamas who can't be bribed. The other guys, they could always pay them off, you know, with drug money. But this guy comes in, he's a Seventh-day Adventist. He's turned on to Jesus, goes to mass, service every Sunday or every Saturday, I'll get it straight. And, you know, he couldn't be bought off. So he serves a warrant to the mayor at 2:30 in the morning on the morning of Sunday, July 30th, I believe it was. And he was met with a volley of gunfire from the mayor and his little private armada there. And so they had this big firefight, and the mayor was killed, the mayor's wife was killed, the mayor's brother was killed, and 13 of his bodyguards were all killed. They dragged their bodies out in the morning. The mayor didn't get shot, he got blown up. He didn't get blown up by somebody from the outside throwing something in. He tried to throw a grenade out at the police, and the grenade exploded in his hand. That's the world we live in. So when I talk to you about the faithfulness of God, we've been around the block a few times, and I can tell you I have seen things, and I know God is faithful, and I know He'll take care of you the same way He takes care of us, the same way He takes care of the leadership of this church. Are you listening? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I didn't learn any of this when I went to the Catholic school. They didn't teach me any of these things. They taught me how to kneel and genuflect, go through the Sunday morning calisthenics. Stand, sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yep. Went there for a long, long time, but I got saved. I got set free. Praise the Lord. I used to be a part, you know, went to the, you know, my mother, you know, whatever. Anyway, my parents were very devout people, sent me to Catholic grade school, Our Lady of Perpetual Deception. That was 8 years, the grade school, followed by 4 years of high school, St. Ignorance. I went there for four more years. And, you know, I mean, I thought I knew it all. But, you know, when you step out from the religious world and you discover who Jesus really is, glory to God. I mean, our future's bright. It's bright. I can tell you're thrilled. It should be bright for you. You should be looking forward to the future, you know. The word of God is yes and amen. God's not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now, let's look forward to the future, shall we not? Let's get excited about the future, shall we not? Mm-hmm. Yep, right where we are. Our best days are all ahead of us. They are all ahead of us. Feed on His faithfulness. Don't drift away. The Bible calls hope the anchor to your soul. Drifting is a slow process. Don't let the world drift you away from your first love. Feed on His faithfulness and keep that anchor dropped right where it needs to be, and keep your soul in position where it should be, right on the Word of God, keeping your eyes lifted, your eyes on the horizon, because Jesus is coming very, very, very soon. Amen. All right. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.